Welcome to Unceded Airwaves. I'm Danny, our Indigenous Collective Lead here at CITR 101.9 FM, and today's episode is about the film Portraits from a Fire, and we are interviewing a cast member. What might that cast member's name be, Ava?
Today we're interviewing Asavek Kutunadrin.
Awesome. CITR broadcasts from the unceded land of the Hunkaminam speaking, what is currently called the Musqueam First Nation, and the historical shared territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people in the region that has been colonially labeled as Vancouver. You'll be hearing some ads really quickly, and then we'll get into the interview.
Is your mom obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So is ours!
Are you too obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So are we!
Tune in to Viva Poru, el ungüento para el alma, every other Thursday at 4 p.m. here at CITR 101.9 FM.
A radio show dedicated to Latin awesomeness and culture. Hosted by yours truly, the one and only
DJ Bruja. And the other one and only
DJ D-Rod.
Featuring music genres like
salsa, sabrosura vintage, bolero, bossa, Latin indie, plus so much more.
Contains a high amount of llama content. DJ D-Rod and DJ Bruja are not responsible for a newly found llama obsession.
Doxa Documentary Film Festival returns May 2nd to 12th, 2024. Audiences of all ages are invited to 10 days of curiosity and critical thought in film. For 22 years, Doxa continues to present both short and feature films from across Canada and the globe, representing some of the best in documentary cinema. This year, Doxa is once again returning to local theaters in Vancouver and will feature live discussions, workshops, and other industry networking events with filmmakers. Visit doxafestival.ca for tickets, and we hope to see you there.
I can hear Francis, I think.
Okay.
Francis?
Yep, hi.
I can hear you. I can't hear Ava and that group.
Oh, can you
hear us? It's like you're muted.
That's so strange. Francis, can you hear us?
I can hear you, but it's a little bit, like the volume's a little bit lower.
Oh. Yeah, these mics are...
Can you hear us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I turned it up all the way, as loud
where,
as our mics can
are
go.
Y'all?
We are at CITR. This is our radio station. If you watch Nardwar's videos, and you'll see where he has, like, that little drawing of himself. Everything kind of cut out, but so I don't know if you can still hear us, but Nardwar's, all of his videos, the little mic says CITR 101.9, because this is like the station he started at.
Cool. So basically this is a Nardwar interview, pretty much.
You're now 1 degree of separation away from Nardwar. Okay, so to start...
What exactly did you want to...
Yeah, so first, I'd like to hear a brief description of you.
Me? Alright. Sure, my name is Asivak Kostachin. And I come from Ottawa, Piscataway First Nation.
You We only heard First Nation and then it cut out, but if you want to, I'd recommend turning off your camera because that can save bandwidth and might make the connection a little easier.
Maybe.
Okay. So the last thing that we recorded was First Nation.
We can hear you now.
We can hear you now.
I'm so sorry that this is happening.
That's okay. This is hilarious. It's awesome. We'll lean into it. We heard up to Nation, and then you got cut off.
Nation. Oh, geez, I don't remember what I was saying. My name is Sivak Stetchen. My mother's from Attawapiskat First Nations in Northern Ontario. And my father's from Inuvik, Northwest Territories. And I'm currently living in Vancouver, Canada. Well, not right now, but when I'm not in Japan.
Where are you right now?
I am in Hokkaido, which is the northernmost province of Japan. And I'm in the mountains driving back to a city so I can fly back to Tokyo. But it's real rural, so the connection ain't the best. But that's where I currently am. And I was just spending time with the Ainu, which are the indigenous peoples of Japan. And I just finished spending time with them, and I'm now heading back to mainland Japan.
That's so cool. So we just wanted to ask about what movies you were watching / loving growing up and how that influenced your journey in film.
Oh. I owe a lot of that to my grandpa. We were always watching movies together. A lot of action movies and whatnot. So I kind of watched everything. But I remember there's a few movies that really stood out to me. One of them was Once Were Warriors, the Maori film. I think it was made in 1994 or something. My mother really loves that movie, and I remember watching it when I was young, which is really intense, but it gave me a perspective of other peoples around the world. I also grew up watching a lot of documentaries because my mother's a documentary filmmaker, so I've seen cinema from all around the world, specifically indigenous peoples. So I was heavily influenced in that way growing up. So as an adult, it was quite an easy career to choose and participate in. Yeah.
Awesome. That's really cool. I love that you have that family connection. Because I feel like, especially in indigenous communities, often, like, if someone is doing something really big, they're the first to do it. So that's really cool that you have such a, like, kinship connection to that industry.
Yeah, I feel really lucky, and I feel a responsibility for sure to keep doing it and participate and support the best I can and just keep it going, you know?
Mm-hmm. And we were also wondering if you thought of any songs that had the same vibe as the movie Purchase from a Fire.
If there's any songs I know that have the same vibe?
Yeah. Or that remind you of the time.
Which song are you thinking of in Purchase from a Fire?
Or that remind you of the movie.
Or that you wish could have been included in the soundtrack or just...
I guess that Arcade Fire song called Wake Up. I like that one. That one kind of fits the vibe. You know that song?
I don't, but we're going to play it, like, because this is a radio show broadcast. It'll be about an hour, and we'll add that in. So
great, yeah. Wake Up by Arcade Fire.
Mm-hmm. And also relating to the previous question, when you were watching those indigenous movies and documentaries as a kid, did you dream of being in documentaries and movies, or did it come about some other way?
Great question. My dream was to be a captain of a spaceship growing up, and still is.
It's possible.
So it wasn't necessary. So my dream is very specific, and no matter how many films I make, I guess I can make a film about being a captain of a spaceship. But that's my dream. But growing up watching those things, those kind of movies and docs, and it definitely inspired me and influenced me to kind of listen to spirit. You know, that was like the general theme I saw in all these different movies around the world. It's like a shared perspective, a shared indigenous spirit, you can call it. And that influenced me greatly. And I feel like we all have access to it. It's just a matter of listening. And I listen to mine, and I'm leading my life with that at the forefront. So all this cinema really, for me at least, informed me of that. I saw that connection, and I can apply it in real life. And yeah, so I don't know how I will eventually become a captain of a spaceship, but I'm listening. I'm trying my best.
If you were to become a captain,
I have a plan. Maybe when I'm 80, 90, technology will advance enough. There's cryo chambers, and I can be frozen for a few thousand years until there's spaceships and stuff. That's okay. My plan.
So when you are a captain of a spaceship, what would you bring along with you to keep you entertained?
Say that again?
When you do become a captain of a spaceship, what would you bring along with you to be entertained?
Oh, my friends. That's what it's all about, you know? Just human connection and your friends and family. Yeah. Yeah. I think captain of a spaceship is kind of like a metaphor for just kind of living communally, like the old ways, you know? A lot of us live alone or in small groups or in couples or something, but for so long we've lived communally in big shared houses or long houses or big houses or whatever it is. And I think I just crave kind of that. And I guess as a kid, I saw cinema and I saw kind of like a family unit in this like Star Wars or Star Trek kind of thing. You know, they're all there together. So I think that's kind of what I want, just kind of community, and not just professionally, but every day, you know. Anyways. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, at any moment, I might lose connection. Just beware.
Okay. Our next question for you is, what are your favorite stories from set? And could you tell us a little bit about your experience shooting this film?
Purchase from a Fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was right before COVID. So it was 2019 in the summer. I think it was August. So it was like 4 or 5 years ago. So I'll do my best to remember.
Okay.
But the experience I had was I auditioned and did callbacks and met with the director and producers, and everything went well, and they decided they're gonna go with someone else, and they let me know that, and they thanked me and whatnot. And then a month later, I got a call from my agent saying that the other actor who got the role couldn't make it last minute, and they asked me if I wanted to. So the next day or the following day after that, I went up to the res there to shoot it. So it all happened really quickly, and I didn't even have anything memorized because it all happened so fast. So I went up there to Williams Lake, flew to Williams Lake, got picked up, and got driven to Anaheim, the res there, and I was living in Trevor Mack's family home. He's the writer-director. And I was welcomed in the home by their family, and the whole time filming, I was just in their family home, and we'd go out on the different places on the res and shoot. And it was an incredible experience, and I felt very welcomed. And so my favorite memories, I think there's so many good moments for sure, but the overall memory I have is just feeling welcomed in a community, and they're all helping each other. So at lunch or crafty, it was youth helping and elders cooking, and it was a community effort, you know. It was really special, and it was professional too. There's professionals working on the crew, but you know, it's just indie vibes, and it was great. I just have such positive memories of making that film. Yeah,
that sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard, of course. It's hard work, but it's so worth it.
What was the process like working with Trevor, and how did you like interpret your character and bring your character to life on set with the other actors working with Trevor? What was that process like?
Yeah, me and Trevor are the same age, so we got along really well. We could relate on a lot, and I was pretty new to acting professionally, and I think it was his first time directing a movie. So we were both kind of in a similar place in our careers where we've done stuff, but we're still learning and new. So it was mutual in the sense of, you know, kind of discovering things together and supporting each other. And then also working with William, the young actor there who killed it. It was his first time. So it was just a lot of newness and just supporting each other and figuring things out on the spot. And I only acted with William, who, so, it was just a lot of support and discovery and not knowing what was happening in the best way possible and figuring it out and just executing it.
Yeah, that's really cool to be like learning alongside other people who are also learning and in similar moments.
Yeah, and I guess I have a message for younger people or people who are starting filmmaking, you know. Yes, it's daunting and it's overwhelming. Just one step at a time. And all these pros, all these big shots, they started somewhere. And it's true. You just kind of figure it out as you go. And you have to have that courage to try. And it's okay if you don't know what exactly you're doing. As long as you just put yourself out there and try and do it. That's the most important part. And you'll learn along the way. So I encourage anyone wanting to do that, just to do your best, whether it's on your own or you're producing and you can get funds, whatever the situation is. I just encourage anyone to start shooting and making a film.
Right on.
Right on.
Right on.
So you mentioned your dad being from Inuvik. So I also grew up in the Northwest Territories with my grandparents being from Inuvik. So I spent quite a bit of like my younger years there. I'm just wondering what your experience of the North is.
Wow. Wait, who am I talking to?
Ava.
Oh.
We can't see you.
I didn't see any mouths move. I was confused.
Wait, you should move to the side a little bit.
The side?
Yeah, if you full screen on whatever you're on, you should be able to see easier because it does compress it. But on our like screen where we have the full screen, you should be able to see everyone.
Like if you tilt your phone into portrait.
If you pin Ava's Zoom call or video, you'll be able to see. Yeah.
I'm pretty much 30, so I'm not as advanced. I'm not even joking. Oh, there we go. Okay, now I can see all you. Okay, there we go. Cool. Sorry, what were you saying?
So you mentioned one of your parents being from Inuvik, and my grandparents are also from Inuvik, and I've spent my whole life growing up in the North, so I was just wondering what your experience with the North is.
Right on. Wait, who is your family name? What's your family name?
My family's last name is Skinner.
Skinner? And are there some of them in Inuvik?
Yeah.
My family is the Harleys and the Hagens.
I'm not gonna lie, I think I've done Christmas with them at one point.
But really?
Yeah, we went up, there was like a group of like 30 of us who all came up to Inuvik for Christmas like 3-4 years ago. Yeah, and we just did Christmas with another big family up there. And I
was it the Hagens or Harleys?
I think it was the Harleys.
Wow.
I know that's you're awesome. Cree too. I'm Plains Cree. What kind of Cree are you?
Swampy, Northern Ontario.
I have one friend that's Swampy Cree.
Sorry?
I have one friend that's Swampy Cree, but my Plains Cree family last name is LaRose. And La Vallée, La Framboise, Strawberry.
Oh, right on. Yeah, so I got Cree on my mom's side and then Inuit Gwich'in on my dad's side. Because in Inuvik, it's a mix of the Inuvialuit and the Gwich'in a lot. It's a fairly new community there.
Yeah, Ava, you should share a little bit about your community.
About my community? So my grandparents are from Inuvik, so I spent the ages of, like, when I was born to 5 in Inuvik, and then I moved to Fort Simpson, which is a smaller, like, island community along the Mackenzie, a lot less farther north, but still within the Northwest Territories. So that's kind of where I grew up, and it's mostly just Dene and Inuit people there.
Oh, yeah. Do you know Michela, what's her last name? She also works in film.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
No need for last name.
My mom kind of adopted her in a way.
Oh, wow.
Daughter.
This is my favorite thing about the North. Everyone's connected.
Say that again?
This is my favorite thing about the North, how everyone's connected and everyone's like actually probably cousins with each other.
For sure. The first movie I did, Red Snow, it turns out that the writer-director, Marie Clements, is my distant cousin. I didn't even know that.
Cool. That's really
but
cool.
Also, as I travel different parts of the world and meet Indigenous people, I'm not lying that they've either been to my communities or there's mutual friends, and we're all so connected. So the people I was just with, the Ainu, some of them knew my aunt, some of them knew my friends, some of them have been to my community. It's just, what is going on?
That's Mr. Worldwide.
You just show up.
That's why we say all my relations.
Exactly. And it's so real. And something that I was being shared with from the Ainu is that they're here in Japan, and Japan is not as supportive of Indigenous peoples as Canada or New Zealand is, you know, and things are changing and getting better for sure. But Japan has been really strict, and only the last 10 years there's been some change. But they're saying, the Ainu people are saying how secluded they feel and how unsupported they are and how tough it is. And I was just sharing that times are changing and we're all connecting. We're all kyodai, which is a Japanese word for like relative in a way, like brother, sister. And that they're not alone, and they have kyodai in Canada and New Zealand. And some of their, I just participated in a ceremony. They asked me to participate in a ceremony. That's why I had to reschedule. Suddenly, I was just about to leave. We did this ancient ceremony, and it's just so, there's so many similarities I saw in their culture, and even listening to the language, and it just blew my mind that, you know, sometime in the past, we were connected and trading or whatever it may be, sharing. And it's just a powerful thing. And I found, I'm just gonna keep talking. And I found that making films, Indigenous films, is another like modern way, modern ceremony for gathering. You know, yes, we're making a movie and telling a story, but what's actually happening that I've noticed is we're gathering. And behind the scenes, you know, yes, the camera's important, making a film is important, but the most important thing I found is being together and sharing stories and who we are behind the scenes, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's my favorite part about it.
Yeah.
Even if you make a shit movie or a great movie, just doing it together is just so great. Especially if there's that intention, you know?
Mm-hmm. And could you tell us a little bit more about the ceremony that you took part in?
It was like a spring ceremony. So they were thanking the gods and praying, and I'm not going to go too much in detail because I don't feel like it's my place to talk about it. But it was a spring ceremony, and yeah, it was quite beautiful, and just there's just so many similarities from what I've seen in Indigenous communities in Canada. It's just boggled my mind.
Yeah, it's all those similarities of like when you really are interconnected with Mother Earth, like. She teaches you things, and that's, you know, not definitive by a border at all.
Not at all.
What, I guess that kind of leans kind of well into, what was your favorite scene to film? Like, your favorite location, your favorite, your absolute favorite memory, your favorite scene specifically from Portraits from a Fire?
Scene-wise. Dun, 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 dun. I really enjoyed the montage scenes where we're going around the community and, you know, advertising the movie that was going to be shown and stealing beer or whatever it is. Like, that montage scene was really fun to make because we were literally just running around the community filming things, you know? And it was so much fun. And we were interacting with the local people there, you know, knocking on their door. And some of them never been in front of the camera and they're so shy. And it was just so fun.
Yeah, that was a really fun scene to watch. Like, you could just feel it.
Yeah. It was very vibey. Did you relate to that? Was that, did that remind you of your childhood?
Oh, yeah, when I would visit. My childhood, my upbringing was so particular. So my dad's from one place, my mom's from another. My family, my grandparents, my great-grandparents were always, always moving. It's just their nature from growing up in Northern Ontario on my mom's side, Swampy Cree. Yeah. There's just so much movement and migration that once they left the community, went to different cities or whatnot, they're always moving. So I was always moving. I went to maybe 7 different schools growing up, and I was always changing, and my mom had so many friends in the Native arts community. So we're going to this powwow on this res and visiting this res and this other family and participating in this ceremony. So my experience has been so pan-Indigenous, which is mixed, of course. But I had so many different experiences at different places. And it's like same, but different, you know? So filming that scene in the movie was definitely reminded me of moments of my childhood for sure. And it's just such a good feeling to feel connected and celebrate those kind of things that some of us experience growing up or have experienced growing up, you know, depending on where you are from.
Mm-hmm. And on the other side, when you were watching the film, what was your favorite scene or favorite thing about it?
The film?
Yeah, looking back at like the final cut.
Oh, okay. I like the end scene when have you all watched the movie?
Yeah. We did a screening in the lounge of CITR, and my boss gave us a card to get some snacks, and all the collective members, some CITR members, just hanging around. And it was really fun. We had Pepsi. Every Indian in the world was there. It was great.
Awesome. I would say my favorite part is for the end when Sammy and the white guy were having that draw at the end.
Yes.
And then there was cut, and then the whole crew came.
Yeah.
And did a big picture. I love that moment. Sammy stole the show. Oh my god. Yeah,
he did.
Sammy needs his own movie. He went to shoot a white man.
So it's been a hot minute since shooting Portraits from a Fire, and you've clearly been doing a lot of other projects since then, but we're curious about what you're working on right now and what you're excited about coming out soon in the next year.
Yeah, cool. I just finished a project in Albuquerque in New Mexico. It's called Duster. You can find it on IMDb, but it's not really posted. It's not advertised at all, but it is up there, and it'll come out in around January on HBO Max, the streaming service. Probably come out around January, New Year sometime. And I spent the last year on and off going there filming. Just completed it at the end of March, and that was an incredible experience. I spent a lot of time with the Navajo and the Hopi, and learning from them, and just finished, end of March. And then I came straight here to Japan, kind of like on vacation / learning, you know. I like to mix my vacations with the learning.
Yeah. What led you to Japan?
I've always been drawn here for some reason as a kid, and finally having time and resources, I brought myself here just to kind of honor that feeling I had since being young. it wasn't particularly about like an anime or the like the pop culture. It was a feeling, you know, just listening to spirit. I've always been drawn here for some reason, and now that I'm here, I understand why. The connection with the Ainu, and I barely knew anything about them growing up. Didn't even know they existed, and as an adult, just knew very little. And then now, since being here, learning all this stuff, it's just it made sense that I was called here. And I'm actually in the works of having cultural exchange with them here, with some of the youth and people I know back home in Canada, and I'm in the works of that, doing that. So I don't know. I guess I was just drawn by spirit, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Alright. Where can people find you? Any last comments about what you want?
You can find me. You can find me at a Psycho Mart in Hokkaido, Japan. I'm in a parking lot right now. That's where you can find me.
Come on.
Is that what you meant?
This is your self promo moment. Come on.
What?
This is your self promo moment. You get to shout out your Instagram, your Facebook.
Yeah. Self promo. Yeah, well, okay, well,
any
I don't
media
really have
training
Instagram.
Skills?
I'm that old. I just didn't get into it. I'm on Facebook with all the old people.
Yeah,
it was so fair. I remember sitting in the office, like trying to find you on Instagram, trying to find your email, and finally it was like, hey, it's Facebook. It's Facebook.
Yeah,
a lot of Gen Z
too.
Natives I know, like, that's the only reason we have Facebook, because it's, like, a part of Native identity at this point. You gotta be on Facebook.
I'm so embarrassed friending people on Facebook, because it's actually just my blog to my family back home. Like, I'm
literally.
Just like, this
yeah,
week
exactly.
I did this.
It's for the Facebook groups, like, the off-reserve Facebook groups, like.
I buy so much Indigenous artwork off of Facebook.
I'm in those, like, canned fish ones.
I don't really have any self-promo for myself. Just you know, if you're listening to this, you're Indigenous, you know, please tell your story in whatever capacity you can. It just enriches the world in ways you don't even know. And if you do know, even better. But yeah, just please share your story.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you.
Steve McQuitt. And also,
go ahead.
All of you, are you all film students?
No.
I am.
Oh my goodness. I am. I thought I was talking to film nerds.
I'm in film.
Are you all radio nerds?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't know anything about radio.
Yo, this is CITR. CITR has been around for a very long time. Nardwuar. It's almost, if you, like, walk around and do a tour here, it's kind of like a Nardwuar cult.
It's just a Nardwuar shrine.
Yeah. His YouTube channel, he did some tours of our old station in the 80s and another one in the 90s. Really cool. Nardwuar knows about Unceded Airwaves. He loves Unceded Airwaves. It's been around since about 2015, led by different people that have had this job. And you mentioned the thing about, like, learning, like, some, your cousin was involved in something. I was, like, looking through our audio files in our email, and I realized that the person that had my job before has interviewed two of my cousins for Unceded Airwaves.
I'm pretty sure the person who had your job before is my cousin.
I'm in film at UBC, and we watched portraits through VIF for like a class, which is how I came across portraits.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a little intersection between radio and film.
Oh, right on. Well, thank you all for your time. Thank you so much.
One last question. How does it feel to be studied by UBC students?
quite normal. my mother graduated from UBC and did her PhD. And,
wow. What's her name?
Jules Kostachin. Search her up.
She's epic. I've seen some of the things she's done in some classes. Very epic stuff.
Okay. Yeah, our call's going to end itself, but thank you so much.
I grew up with her, so my whole life was like having an interview and like, a case study and all that stuff. So it feels really normal, and I just love this kind of thing. So. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome back after our interview. That was really awesome. That was really epic. And we can introduce ourselves now. I'm Danny. I'm Two-Spirit Odofemso Nehio on my dad's side. Yippee-yay. I use she, her.
Hi, I'm Jazz. I'm from the Liowat Nation. It's part of the Shtatlium Nation. And my pronouns are she, her as well.
Hi, I'm Aditya, and I'm an ally from India. and I use he, him.
Hi, my name is Ava. I'm from Kliquent First Nations, and I use she, her.
Hi, my name is Francis. I use they, she, and I am half Mexican and then half settler, colonial, white, German, European descent. And then another mix of Romanian, Brazilians, but yeah.
In our interview with the Seawalk, we asked him what song he thinks kind of encapsulates the vibe or reminds him of the movie, and one of the ones that he said was Wake Up by Arcade Fire. So we're going to play that first, and then after that, we'll come back and tell you more about the soundtrack, and we'll play some of those.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You just heard Wake Up by Arcade Fire, and that was so, there was many words going around, but so boyhood, so indie.
Felt very much coming like growing up on the res.
Yes, we love Arcade Fire, though.
It was really good. The vibes were very there. It was pretty long. It felt like that was already in the movie. Like, it was just so the right vibe.
Yeah, it reminded me of the scene that he said that was his favorite.
Yes.
It's I feel like it's pretty similar to the song I'll Believe in Anything by Wolf Parade, which is in the movie. It has, like, the same, like, coming of age vibe.
Well, that's perfect, because that's actually up next.
Wait, one thing, though, that we have to, I feel like we have to mention. Is that Arcade Fire kind of got canceled?
Oh!
There's tea. Oh. Like, love the song, but also.
Oopsies.
What is the tea?
I'll Believe in Anything by Wolf Parade on CITR 101.9 FM on Seated Airwaves. Thank you.
Nobody knows you, and nobody gives a damn. I said nobody knows you, and nobody gives a damn.
also a little tidbit about the song that just played when we were watching the movie in the CITR lounge.
Your eyes.
We had a few technical difficulties, and we ended up listening to the first 10 seconds of that song about 15 times before we actually got through the intro of the movie.
It is available on Vimeo, which is so goated. It's in like on like this Indigenous Film Archive account. The movie, again, is Portraits from a Fire. Please watch it. It's really awesome. It's on Vimeo. Support Indigenous film.
I love that song. And also, like, it's so cool how it, like, bookends the film almost. Like, you hear it twice, which you don't always hear with, like, a song in a film. And I remember crying at the end of the film, like, the first time that I saw it in, like, the cinema. Like, I'll Believe in Anything started, like, blasting, and the tears started rolling. And I was like, okay, I'm very emotional on like a weekday evening.
It's so boyhood, Indigenous boyhood coming of age in the 2000s. Like, I think everybody, if you watch the film and you're a Native person in Canada, you probably knew someone, or you were that little res boy or little Native boy that had that haircut, the like long Justin Bieber shag. I'm specifically targeting my brother Ethan here with this. I showed everyone a photo when we did a screening at the Collective. I was like, this is literally my brother. He had that exact haircut and same boyish whimsy at that age of just running around. And I feel like that song is the movie.
Yeah, I think I would love to ask him questions about Indigenous boyhood, because I feel like the film showcased it and it would be really interesting to see what how he related to it. But yeah, it was really good. When I was watching, I was thinking about how his character showed a lot of positive masculinity in his relationship with his brother. And then there was the relationship with his father, which was not positively masculine at all. And then his grandpa. So there was a lot of good, different representation.
Yeah, and I like that it created this environment and this bubble, like with the language. And it had the same kind of vibes of, you know, you can tell it's an Indigenous crew, Indigenous writers. And it has kind of that magic that Smoke Signals and Reservation Dogs have because of the same environment and context that it was created within. And I was looking at the bio, and I know they said something about, like, wanting to create something that wasn't just based on trauma, like based on residential schools or 60s Scoop, and just like a whimsical indie film about, like, Indigenous coming of age. And I really like that. It's really hard for me to watch those movies that are really hard, like Indian horrors, that are really good. And I think it's really important for non-Indigenous people to watch that. But I love just films like this. They make me really happy. I love watching them.
It's just really great to watch Indigenous films made by Indigenous people and celebrating Indigenous prosperity and not just, like, hardship. And I think that was really different and cool about this film.
Like, Indigenous coming-of-age joy.
Absolutely. And the magic of being, you know, a little Native boy with that shag haircut and the camera and a dream, and maybe wanting to, you know, lead a rocket ship. So the last song that we will send you off with will be Described by Perfume Genius, which is also off of the soundtrack. So any last words? We'll say goodbye here.
Go watch the film.
Yeah, and as he said, follow your dreams.
Thank you for listening.
Go where the spirits take you.
Yeah. Watch movies, make movies.
Yeah. Coming to a res near you.
Or maybe your living room in Kitsilano, you UBC student listening to this right now.
This is just us peer pressuring you into watching the movie. So
get some edibles from Burb, you know.
It's worth it.
Take you and your white ally friends and watch a good Indigenous film. It's on Vimeo. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Love comes over. I got nostalgia for Mars. Water locked in the ice caps just for me. Another sterile planet that I can flee to. I got nostalgia for Mars. Water locked in the ice caps just for me. Another sterile planet that I can flee to. I got nostalgia for Mars. My perfect rabbit hole. Red queen all over my cord. So cold and clear and cold. And though it's cold, takes my breath away. Sand beats on my space suit. And though it's cold, stars don't seem so far away. Sand says, every little thing's gonna be okay. Every little thing's gonna be okay. Every little thing's gonna be okay. Nostalgia for Mars. My rocket ship will fly me there one day. I'll force an emerald forest to grow in the red clay. This funny blue world never felt like home. I'm just a future Martian. Thought that you should know. Gonna be okay. Every little thing's gonna be okay.